One. Can I get a roll call, please, Rhonda?
Ann Chandler,
Here.
Sarah Hill,
Here.
Ryan Johnson,
Here.
Christy Lear,
Here.
Michael Treese.
Here.
Okay, then we have myself, Leslie Bednar, Shirley Payton, Tracy Wadsworth, Michael Kanellikin, oh, and Robin Klingler. Okay, from Shuffle Boyle. All
Into your
right.
house, right? You need to
Oh,
have
yes, I'm
your
so sorry, Karen
yes,
Bounds.
that's okay.
Thank you. And we have no public comment. So, next on the agenda is the auditor's presentation.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you for having us here, everyone. Again, Michael Kanellikin, manager with Sheffield Boyle here in the Alton office. And with me is Robin Klingler, principal also here in the Alton office. So happy to be here with everyone. Wanted to start off by just thanking Rhonda, thanking everyone on her team. The audit went very smoothly this year. We didn't run into any issues, very few audit adjustments. All requests we had were met timely and very thoroughly. So I just wanted to give a big thank you to her. It really helps when the audits go that way. They don't all go that way. I can tell you that for sure. So, that was definitely very good. It was very much appreciated. So thank you. Before jumping into maybe the kind of prepared presentation, which hopefully everyone has a copy of, you'll see it's still in draft form. The audit hasn't been released yet, but I don't foresee any changes. Just wanted to run through maybe some things that you might not see. These financials are kind of the end report and, kind of summary of everything that happened, but kind of some of the stuff that goes into the audit each year. As part of our professional standards, every year we develop some unpredictable an element of unpredictability. So doing some testing that maybe we don't do year in and year out, or we haven't done previously, just something kind of outside of the same routine every year. This year there was a CD that had matured, been cashed in. We tested the receipt of those proceeds kind of all the way through, books and ledgers and the subsequent deposit, into the new bank account. Was it done timely? It didn't sit in somebody's account for a week or 2 weeks or a month, and so something can be just very random like that. Some years it's new accounting pronouncements we may hit a little harder. So just kind of something every year there is going to be something different in the audit. Something else that some of you may have seen either this year or in prior years, we address the potential element for fraud every year. Send out inquiries to personnel, to members of management, to those on the board. Karen, this year I think you got that one, and so just looking, any areas susceptible to fraud, any known or maybe potential fraud that we would look at. So something that's definitely on our radar, I would say, every year. I won't go through all of this. I don't need to be too exhaustive, but we confirm things like cash and invested cash and that with third parties. We confirm a lot of the library system's revenue with the state of Illinois, the Illinois State Library, I should say. Capital projects, we'll vouch a lot of those additions, looking at invoices. Do things, are they reasonable? Are the amounts booked, accurate how they should be? Debt's not really a thing that pertains to you so much, but leases do, and they have, for the last several years it appears. So, we'll go through those, go through a lot of the, lease agreements and the specific terms going with that. And just there's a lot of areas that like I said, that may not, as you're looking at a set of financial statements, you may not think of, but a lot of the work that goes into that audit each year, year in and year out, to kind of support the numbers that are showing up that you're seeing, and so just in case anyone hasn't, maybe gone through the audit process before, as far as presentations or just as you're looking at this, of kind of wondering where this stuff's coming from, and what's done to the books every year, whenever we get there. That's just kind of part of the process we go through every year. So I just wanted to lead off with that. And now I'm, I can jump in to the kind of more prepared, summary that you've got there in front of you. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen here, and let's see here. This should be the one. All right. Can everyone see my screen up there?
Yes.
Okay. And so this kind of summary should be something that maybe a lot of you are familiar with. I think it's a similar format to what's been used in prior years. Kind of goes through maybe some of the highlights of the audit, gives you some references as far as where this is at in the actual report itself. If you're wanting to flip to that to see where we're at. But starting off the independent auditor's report, this is, our opinion on the library system's financial statements as a whole. These are full gap, full accrual gap financial statements. So recognizing payables and receivables and, all that. So this is just basically our report on your financials. As with prior years, it's an unmodified opinion again this year, which is, a clean opinion, or, kind of the goal, what you're looking for. It's, kind of the best result, that you can have on the financial statements. Maybe not too much more on that. The second report that we've got there is our report on internal controls. We don't opine on internal controls, but as part of government auditing standards or a yellow book audit, we have to obtain an understanding of the controls over financial reporting and kind of assess maybe the elements of internal control and if there are any deficiencies in internal control. There can be three types of deficiencies, something that's, not material or not significant. We may just discuss with management or with Rhonda and her team. Significant deficiencies would be kind of that middle level. That is something that would be, discussed with the board, in writing. We would issue a report on that every year. And then the last kind, and maybe kind of the most significant, is a material weakness in internal control. We didn't have any of those this year, so that's a good thing. The significant deficiency that we have this year, and it's in the very back of the report, there's a corrective action plan for it, but it is it's a recurring issue that we've had and that the library system has every year about needing the or having, I shouldn't say needing, having the auditors assist in preparing the financial statements. It's a very common deficiency across most all of our audits we do, and it's definitely very common for an organization or an entity of the size of, Heartland Library System. So nothing probably too overly concerned about, and definitely nothing new. It's been, in the report, in previous years. The third report you've got there is the single audit report. We will opine on basically compliance with the major programs, which, there's only one single audit major program this year. And it's the same as in prior years. But we will, look at the areas of compliance with those and what that is. It's the pass-through grants that are coming from the Illinois State Library. So the area and per capita grant has been there in previous years. This year, we also have the library trustee training grant. And so, that being the major program, we're looking at the compliance requirements that the granting agency has. And, did LNI Heartland comply with those? Were the expenses or expenditures charged to the grants allowable? Were all the reporting requirements met for, be it quarterly, annually? Were the expenditures that were charged to the grant in the proper period of performance? So, we're looking at, not just the numbers there, but did Illinois Heartland comply with the grants? And, upon testing and all that, we found that they did. So, our opinion, we're in compliance with all those requirements. So, those are the three reports, that are at the beginning, similar to prior years. I don't know if anyone has any questions on any of those or any comments, or do you want me to move into kind of more of the financials?
Okay. I think you can move into
Okay.
those.
All right. Moving down pages 17 and 18 in your auditor's report, and that'll be the first kind of financial statement you'll see. That's after the management discussion and analysis. These are called the government-wide statements, GASB 34 statements. It's been around for quite a while now, but this basically presents the entire entity, you know, all the governmental funds, the share computer development fund, as a whole. You know, I don't want to get too bogged down in the numbers here because we'll kind of get into some of the details, but this is going to, you know, like I said, full accrual, going to bring in things like capital assets, going to bring in things like debt, going to bring in the IMRF items that maybe aren't direct, you know, revenues or expenditures of the fund or of the system. So this is kind of the big picture view. You know, as you see here, we're really looking just at net position. That's kind of, okay, assets minus liabilities, where are we at? And then the change in net position, you know, as with prior years, this change in net position was really driven by IMRF pension expense, or in this case, income. You know, again, those are things that are kind of probably a little bit outside of the organization's control. You know, this is actuarially determined and provided, you know, to the state. We obtain everything from IMRF. So again, kind of big picture, net position increased a little over $1 million, largely attributable to, you know, pension expense, in this case, pension income. Moving down, you know, getting into maybe a little bit more of the details and the specifics, to the balance sheet of the governmental funds. You know, we really present cash. Cash makes up 94% or so of, you know, all the assets and the funds. I mean, there's a little bit of receivable out there, for the trustee training grant. There's some prepaid expenses, but really it's cash. Cash is the main asset, when you get down to the fund level. And so that's kind of what we're showing here. And, you know, this balance sheet, you know, really the cash balances kind of will coincide as we get into some of these, to these, tables below. But, you know, general fund cash down by 454,000. That's largely due to transfers, transferring over to capital projects. CMC grant, really, it's all revenues are spent. This is more of a timing thing. There's some higher payables this year. So, you know, that's one that you probably wouldn't normally see a cash fluctuation. Again, timing. You know, capital projects, transfers in was a big part of the inflows. As a lot of you are probably aware, a lot was spent on capital projects this year with, the Edwardsville facility parking lot and all the new, Ford Transit delivery vans. The other two funds, not, you know, too much going on there. Also, we'll point out to you just why I'm here. As you're looking through the auditor's report, OCLC grant is going to show up under other governmental funds. The first four funds are major. They're presented individually. All other funds are generally presented in the aggregate. In this case, there's only one, so it does kind of get standalone treatment, but in prior years, it wouldn't have. So as you're looking through, you see other governmental funds. That's just referring to OCLC grant. Moving down kind of into maybe some of the revenues and expenses then. Here's your general fund. Revenues up 160,000. A lot of that is investment income and interest income. You'll see that as kind of a theme through some of the other funds as well, as, you know, the rates have just been higher, you know, taking advantage of Illinois funds, which, you know, pays pretty well. Disbursements up 360. That is largely payroll related, you know, with the 5% wage increase. Some new full-time positions either being created or being filled. So payroll has kind of driven that increase in disbursements. The proceeds from the fixed asset sales, nothing really too major there. And then the transfers. And this is where I referred to earlier, kind of the big decrease in general fund cash, 350,000 being transferred to the share or computer development fund, and 43,000 transferred over to capital projects. So, you know, the general fund balance down, you know, $250,000, you know, a lot of that, like I said, generated by transfers, you know, kind of keeping the funds are still within, you know, the library system. It's just moving to a different area for different reasons. CMC grant, again, all, you know, this is funded by the Illinois State Library grant. All these funds are spent. You know, what's not spent is returned. So again, you know, you're not going to see much of a change in fund balance really in this type of fund year in and year out. Capital projects, you know, the receipts outside of the transfers, largely interest, some sales of some capital assets from prior years, but really the way that this fund is being funded is through transfers from the general fund this year. And, you know, as you can see the last couple of years, there's been, you know, very significant capital outlay. So, you know, that makes sense that the, you know, the general fund is going to need to move some of that money in there, any excesses or available excesses. We talked about the capital outlay for this year, so I'm going to kind of jump down. Trustee training grant, reimbursement base. So again, expenditures are going to equal receipts. You know, this is one where you can see the last 2 years, there's been no excess or deficit. And OCLC graining, OCLC, sorry, also not really much going on there. So really, I think kind of the big thing is going to be, you know, we saw payroll was up. We saw significant capital outlay. You know, investment income was up for the year. Was kind of the big highlights in our governmental fund activity. Jumping down, this is really just kind of a summary of what we just discussed, just maybe in a little different format. But, you know, again, you'll see kind of the change, you know, in fund balance year over year, looking at 23 to 24. Jumping down to share, computer development, you know, revenues really, you know, up slightly 4%, saw a little bit in some of the fee revenues and the Aspen program kicking off and that kind of bumped things up a little bit. Saw some other areas kind of offset, nothing too significant. The operating expense, you know, looks, you know, favorable, you know, 350,000, you know, as far as being down compared to prior year, largely driven by pension expense, or in this pension income in this case. In the governmental funds, you don't see that. It's reported only government-wide. But when you get into proprietary or enterprise funds or these business-type activities, that is an operating expense or reduction of operating expense. The swing from last year to this year was $455,000, I believe. So, you know, that's really that big reduction in operating expenses is the change in pension income or expense. You know, that fluctuates year to year and really outside of just the library system's contributions is kind of outside of, you know, your everyday kind of transactions, or bookkeeping. So it's something that probably doesn't show up maybe on a monthly basis as you're kind of looking at, you know, your results from operations. This is something that, again, we get these reports from IMRF, you know, we work with Rhonda and help getting these journal entries prepared. And allocated between governmental and you know, the share fund. So that's that real big change in operating expenses. Non-operating is interest income, interest expense. We've talked earlier, you know, interest income being up kind of, you know, throughout the organization. Jumping down to budget, you know, revenues, general fund above budget, capital projects also above budget. I mentioned earlier that CMC grant had, I think, some unspent grant funds. So that's going to be money returned. It was returned in July to the state. So that's kind of your fluctuation to budget as far as revenue goes. But, you know, what's important, very important when you're talking governmental entities is expenses to budget. Good thing here is all funds were either at or below for the general fund, you know, significantly below, you know, $450,000 below budget. So, you know, when looking at governmental fund expenditures and major governmental funds, you know, not exceeding your budget is important. So that's good to note there. I'm going to stop here for a minute. Just any comments, questions from anyone on the financials, any sort of the year over year changes or, you know, the variances that, you know, want to discuss any further.
I don't think so.
Okay. I like that. Moving down to some of the notes of the financial statements. And in note one, we will include generally every year any new accounting pronouncements. It seems like GASB, who has the oversight of governmental accounting, has been releasing these, you know, kind of quick and in a hurry every year. There seems to be more and more of them. The one this year is not nearly as significant as prior years. It addresses accounting changes and accounting errors. There were no errors this year, so nothing to report there. Accounting changes are changes in accounting pronouncements or accounting estimates, or in the case of the library system this year, changes to the reporting entity. This is probably the most just kind of mundane of the three, the reporting entity. All it is if you go have a fund that's not major one year, goes to major the next or vice versa, that's disclosed. And we had that this year, library trustee training being reported as major this year when it was not last year. So in the very end of note one, you're just going to see a little description of that pronouncement and then how it affected the library. And again, all it is taking trustee training grant from other governmental funds in the aggregate to a standalone fund in the financial statements itself. So this one, not too bad this year. You know, in prior years and next year, there's a compensated absences one that's coming up that'll probably be a little bit more material and require a little bit more kind of you know, work on everyone's end. But this year, not too much going on. Capital assets in note five, which covers actually three pages to your footnotes, 39 through 41, starts with the governmental funds. Additions this year, we talked about the four transit vehicles, the Edwardsville facility parking lot, depreciation's recorded, nothing significant there. Share fund had the server additions at the Champaign facility. And then also an accounting pronouncement that took effect last year, but it's subscription-based IT arrangements. They call them SABITAs for short. Basically, if meeting certain criteria, leases longer than 12 months are recognized in the financial statements as an asset, right of use asset with an offsetting liability. You recognize your expense, not so much as cash goes out the door, but as amortization of that asset, as interest, as, you know, as the contract or the agreement, you know, goes on. So, you know, you'll see in your capital assets, not only was the servers added in, but we had these subscription, you know, subscription-based, you know, kind of arrangements that were added. And then there's an offsetting liability to that. So that's something this year that's new. And as you're looking through, you may see in capital assets and in your long-term liabilities note, which is the next note that you wouldn't see in a prior years. We only had one lease that met that criteria this year. It was for the Aspen software. So that's something a little different, like I said, and in future years, you know, may be more prevalent for you. The last note that seems to be pretty significant to kind of call attention to is the IMRF note. There's a lot of, you know, information in there about the plan. I'm sure a lot of you are very familiar with. You know, this is all actuarially determined information provided by the state. You know, the state's audited themselves in this fund. A couple things I'll just point out, you know, kind of in all these pages. I think it spans, you know, four or five pages. This is calculated on a calendar year basis, so 12/31, so not really on your fiscal year exactly. There's some adjustments to kind of get that right. But then really just the big thing on page 46, you know, right now as of 12/31 of 23, so not right now, but as of the calendar year end, the library system was in a net asset position. Again, not something that's terribly common with IMRF, so that's, you know, that's a good thing there. So that's just kind of the one thing I wanted to highlight on IMRF and kind of on the footnotes. And that's really, that's kind of the end of what I had prepared as far as maybe a summary of the audit and maybe some of the highlights. Robin, anything you want to add?
I suppose if I sit back and listen, sorry, all. And all the IMRF talk might just be a little confusing because we didn't really go to Exhibit A and look at that balance sheet and see. But basically, I think the challenge here for you all to understand is that Rhonda can do all this accounting and you can do all your budgeting. And at the end of the year, you're kind of just sort of almost victim, I suppose, to whatever the IMRF report is going to say is your portion of your liability. And so that's just sort of booked as a journal entry at the end of the year. And depending on how the market falls is how much we, you know, either recover or have to expense. So if you think about 12/31/22, the market was pretty poor. And so people's net assets invested in IMRF kind of lost value. So therefore, your liability to make people whole for what your obligation is higher. At 12/31/23, the market got a lot better and those assets got worth more. And it sort of shortened the gap that if that plan was to end today and everybody had to be paid out, that's what you would have to come up with to sort of make sure that everybody was fully paid. And so sometimes on that government-wide, that IMRF stuff can kind of mirror your own internal marks up your own internal activities. And we've been focusing on a lot, but that's important. I mean, you know, everybody there is wants their pension, and IMRF is a very strong funded plan. You know, it's in pretty good shape, as you alluded to. When we give these reports and giving them to school districts and, you know, another state plan is a teacher's retirement system. Yeah. That's not such a good situation, right? It's terrible.
Well, that's half of mine.
And those numbers are scary. Like when we talk about them, these are pretty reasonable. You know, you could probably come up a plan with these things. And so we're just sort of drawing attention to those kinds of numbers, and they tend to, you know, have big swings that have nothing to do with your internal reporting. So one thing I also would say is he talked about that single audit earlier, and those grants. The reason why we're doing special procedures is because those were the portion that were federal dollars. And it's the federal government saying, hey, go test these things. We want a special report because you're spending so much of our money. And maybe not now, but going forward, I think we thought maybe for your fiscal 2026, that threshold by the federal government's going up to $1 million, where they said you have to have $1 million of federal money spent before you have to do special procedures. So you're not quite there. So unless you get more of that grant money, you might grow out of needing that single audit as they increase their threshold. So that would be, you know, less audit work and less reporting here that we'd have to do. So that'd be good. We usually don't get breaks like that. You'll probably get more money, which would be good, but we'll see then. So
thank you. Any questions for the audit team? All right. Well, thank you so much to you all, and we will see you at the board meeting. You are welcome to log off so you don't listen to the rest of our meeting.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Rhonda and the rest of the team for making this a positive experience for IHLS. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Okay. So going back to our agenda then, next on it is the approval of the minutes from the August 12th meeting. So that's attachment 5.1.
I'll make a motion to approve those minutes.
Thank you, Ryan. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Thanks, Michael. And a roll call vote, please.
Ann Chandler.
Yes.
Sarah Hill.
Yes.
Ryan Johnson.
Yes.
Christy Lear.
Yes.
Michael Treese.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you. We didn't have any unfinished business. So moving on to new business will be the acceptance of the August 2024 bills. Let me pull those out. And hopefully you were able to see Leslie's response to some of Ann's questions. Did you want to say anything else about the bills, Rhonda?
I don't, unless anybody has any further questions.
Anyone else have questions?
I was just concerned on the hotel expense for this upcoming trip. You know, the difference between staying at a casino versus the Hampton Inn, you could save almost $200 a night. I just don't think it's a real good look for tax dollar money. And I, you know, Hampton had better rating, but, and it's just, it's 1 minute difference in proximity, so I'm guessing no transportation. Like I say, it doesn't look good, and it doesn't look good to our membership. So I noticed the Fort Harrison rate. I'm assuming Karen was the one talking to them for 4 hours or getting their work done. I would still like to look at our lawyers and see their rate was better on this one. But I just have over 400 an hour is a lot. And then the only other thing I had was the grant. Are we just paying her straight out that much every month on whether she works or not, or what is that agreement?
I believe we pay her monthly. Is that correct, Rhonda?
Yes, we do make a monthly installment to her every month. And actually, she normally works every...
She does work every month. Yeah. So I'm not sure where that comment's coming from.
Well, if you're paying for somebody grant-based, I would think it would be based on work that she's doing, not just you're just paying her a salary to do it, in other
words. It's not a salary. She's a contractual employee. And... Yeah. We have an agreement with her, a signed agreement that's signed every year. It's reviewed every year to make sure it's still accurate and adequate for our needs. And so she does more than produce winning grants for us. So I'm not sure, again, I don't think we want to get to the place where we only compensate somebody because we actually receive a grant. I don't know if that's what you're asking about.
Well, is she writing grants other than your basic grants? Because you have your basic grants.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. I guess I'm not aware what she's doing then on those.
She does. And she also advises us on, as a matter of fact, last week she spent over 2 days advising us regarding a very large federal broadband grant that would have impacted our members and members up north as well. So that is us. Snapshot, I guess, at what she does. Does that answer your question?
It does. Thank you.
Okay. Can I get a motion to move the August 24 bills to the board?
This is Christy. I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Christy. And a second?
This is Michael. I'll second.
Thank you, Michael. And a roll call vote, please.
Ann Chandler.
Yes.
Sarah Hill.
Yes.
Brian Johnson.
Yes.
Chrissy Lear.
Yes.
Michael Trees.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. And next on the agenda then will be the financial reports. Rhonda?
So on the financial reports, it's for activity through August 31st. On each statement of revenue and expenditures, there is the budget or the benchmark of where the remaining budget should be, which is 83%, except for personnel, which is 81%. Any items that are under that percentage is noted at the bottom of each statement and revenue and expenditures. And there are quite a few this month, I will note, just because we did reverse after we got the auditing adjusting entries Friday. We did reverse all those prepaids that were there and purchased for items that were paid prior and due prior to 7/1, but weren't effective until 7/1 and after. We have to do a prepaid entry, booking that to an asset line. And then we have to reverse that at the beginning of the year and book it to the actual expense it belongs to. So expenses did go up for that reason after we got the adjusting entries and verified they were good. We did those entries prior to running these reports. So that is why that change looks a little bit more this month than it did last month. And on the general revenue statement of revenue and expenses, the year-to-date actuals are below year-to-date budget by 87.3%. And that's largely due to us not receiving any system area per capita grant, which is normal until sometime in the fall. When we get our first payment, and then the total expenses, the year-to-date actuals are above year-to-date budget by 13.1%. And that has a lot to do with a lot of those annual premiums for insurances are in there now and things like that. And then on share, the fees for services and materials, we have billed out $1,608,250.62, and that is 94.3% of the FY25 budget. And then as of August 31st, we had collected 85.2%. So we're doing really well and kind of staying where we were last year, similar to that percentage wise. And then total expenses, the year to date actuals are above year to date budget by 40.5%. And Share has this normally each year too, and a lot of it is because of prepaid expenses there, 9 months of their Polaris and Syndetic software, and that's a large bill, so that throws their expenditures off when that prepaid is reversed and charged out as an expense. And then on general fund, the cash total is $4,235,324.17. And that would fund general fund operations for 8.1 months. And then it would fund 7 months of general and special revenue grants. We did get our agreements from the state library on CMC, OCLC, and library trustee training grant. And they are kind of on library, or the OCLC and CMC are on the same payment schedule as they have been for the past few years, where our first payment is going to come November 15th around that date, and our second payment will come January 15th. So we will be carrying those until then, and then we should be good after that first payment to carry us through to the second one. And then, of course, the library trustee training grant is still a federal grant, so it's going to be a reimbursement grant, just like it has been in the past, where we have to pay for things up front. When we file our quarterly reports, we will get the payment from the state library. About within 30 days, they come. So I just wanted to fill you in on that information. And then on Share, the cash total is $3,273,527.27. The share reserve is at $1,096,247.96. The committed funds for ebooks purchases are at $104,911.11. And then the unrestricted operating cash for Share is at $2,072,368.20. So that unrestricted cash would fund Share for approximately 11.2 months. So again, they have billed out almost 94.3%, you know, so that's a lot of their revenue coming in at the beginning of the year. So that's why their cash balance is high right now. Does anybody have any questions for me on any of that?
Rhonda, I would like to say, I know that audits are a little stressful and you're always relieved when they're done. So I do appreciate the, and I'm sure we all do, the job that you've done, because to get a clean audit is something to be extremely proud of, because it isn't always easy. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ann.
Thanks.
Okay, well, there's no other questions about the financial reports. Let's have a motion to move those to the board.
I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Ann. And a second?
I'll second.
Thanks, Ryan. And a roll call vote, please.
Ann Chandler?
Yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Ryan Johnson?
Yes.
Chrissy Lear?
Yes.
And Michael Treese?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And there's no public comment. Any announcements to make? So just a reminder that our next board meeting is, it's going to be a busy afternoon. So see you all in Effingham in 2 weeks or so. Okay, well then let's go ahead and adjourn the meeting at 4:40. Thank you, everyone.
Okay.
See you in a couple weeks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.